Sacrifice Boredom. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant inspiration. Sacrifice Boredom. One of the things that messes our life up most beautifully is our boredom. We are bored with everyday life. We're bored with getting up in the morning, and we're bored with going to bed at night. We're bored with watching television. We're bored with eating our meals. We're bored with our family and friends. We're bored with ourselves. And our body illustrates that. Our body is bored with being a healthy body. Our body is bored with being a happy body. Our body is bored with being a fulfilled body. Our life is bored with being anything at all, because we are bored. This is part of the idea that we have the right to feel unhappy with ourselves. We have the right to feel self-righteous, and that's a very unfortunate thing. In order to live free and happy, you must sacrifice boredom. And it's not always an easy sacrifice, said Richard Bach. In order to live free and happily, you must sacrifice boredom. And it's not always an easy sacrifice. Well, this is only too true. It's not an easy sacrifice to give up boredom, because boredom is such a comfortable thing. Boredom's like an old pair of shoes. Boredom is like we have our gymnasium down there, and we are so accustomed to having the water not heating, and the pool not working, and the jacuzzi not working, and being a cold temperature, that we just don't give a damn about it. We're bored with it. And so nobody uses it. We might as well have it ripped out, because it is not being taken care of. It's not being tended to. We're bored with it. And you see, this is what happens. We're bored with our appendix, so we have it taken out. We're bored with our tonsils, so we have them taken out. We're bored with our wisdom teeth, ha, 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 so we have them taken out. Wisdom teeth is the most interesting word for those teeth. But we're bored with many things in life. Now it's time for us to take a new look at life and stop being bored. Now, how can you stop being bored? Well, by being excited about life. And how can you be excited about life when you're so damn bored you don't know what to do? Well, you start taking a look at what's around you. When's the last time you cut your toenails?
This morning.
Did you? When's the last time you cleaned your fingernails and trimmed them? When's the last time you combed your hair and you said, "God, I'm good. I look great." Yeah. When's the last time you powdered your nose and said, "What a handsome being I am. What a beautiful lady I am. What a great man I am." What's the last time you looked in the mirror, at your full-length mirror, and saw you standing there naked and said, "That's a fantastic body. With all of its fat or skinniness, whatever it is, that's a fantastic body." Can you say that? It makes it kind of tough, because you look at yourself and you got these sags and bags and stuff like that, and you think to yourself, "That's not a fantastic body." Well, you don't deserve a fantastic body if you're going to say that what you have is no good. If you're going to say what you're experiencing is not a great body. And when are you going to start recognizing that your word is a power unto whatever you speak it? Your word is a great power. Now, when are you going to realize that? It's right now. Right now. So, look in the mirror and say, "Wow, what a great looking person I am." And when you read a book, say, "Man, I comprehended and remembered everything that I read." And when you get up in the morning, say, "God, I am so wonderful. This is a wonderful day." And then you say, "God in me, I'm so wonderful." And God in you says, "You bet. I'm your creation. You're my creation. We are working on this thing as one, you know." And then you go to your closet to get your clothes out, and you say, "What shall I wear today that will enhance my beautiful form? What shall I wear today that I will feel just so perky and lovely wearing, you know, or that I'll feel so handsome and perfect in wearing? Or maybe just my bare skin, you know. If that's allowed, then that's lovely too. But do you admire yourself whenever you do anything? Do you appreciate yourself whenever you do anything? Or are you so bored that you always say the same thing?" Now, I have asked you all to do the energy massage every night and maybe twice a day. And I would say that none of you are doing it. You're doing it?
Yes.
Every night?
Yes.
Every morning?
Every
night?
Every 8 years.
Every night. Okay, are you doing it?
I I did it one evening, yesterday not.
And are you doing it every night? Nope.
Nope.
So, you see, there's nothing I can do for you until you start doing the things that I suggest for you to do. You can go to all the Zen masters around the world and listen to their wonderful statements that are to confuse you and amuse you. And as you listen to them and you say, oh, I understand that, oh, I understand that. Well, to understand is okay, but to utilize is better. Now, we don't have to practice being whole and perfect. We put that as a conscious thought in our mind. We don't have to practice the energy massage. We put that as a thought in our mind. And you put that in the thought in your mind after you have practiced it, after you have learned the benefit from it. But the thing is, most people don't know the benefit from the energy massage, because when they are holding their hand a hair's breadth above their body, they oftentimes touch their body and they say, oh dear, I touched my body. Well, that's not what you're supposed to say. You're supposed to say, ah, both ways are good, but I'm learning the energy massage, and I want to stay that distance away so that I feel the difference. Now, if you put your hand on a hot stove, it takes you a moment to realize it's hot. You don't instantly withdraw your hand because you don't realize it's hot for a second. Yet, if you hold your hand just above the stove, you realize it's hot instantly because you have that contact. That's the way the energy massage works. It works most beautifully when you have your hand just gently above your body, just a quarter of an inch or so, and go over your entire body and say, I like me, I like me, I like me. Tell yourself how wonderful you are. Tell yourself what a great being you are. And you watch, you watch. Now, I have, unfortunately, in my group of students, some students who are exceedingly intellectual. And it's not unusual. They're exceedingly intellectual. They know everything. In fact, Ilse was that way. She would read the book and she could tell you what page a particular phrase was on. And that's amazing. But that's an intellectual out. Now, did Ilse practice the things that she was learning? That we have to leave up to her. Are you practicing the things you're learning? That we have to leave up to you. But I'm not sitting inside your head paying attention to what you're doing, but you are. If you want me to sit inside your head, then I will just go push, and you will be whole and perfect, and you will not recognize anything. Now, you just listen. You will not recognize anything, and you will not appreciate what you are or what you have. Do you think a perfect sunset appreciates that it's a perfect sunset? It just is. Now, what if a perfect sunset were the same perfect sunset all the time? Wouldn't that be kind of boring?
It sounds like, but it surely is not.
It's the diversity of its purity and its magnificence that give the sunsets their greatness. There's the sunset. As they say of Phoenix, Arizona. Oh, another sunny day. They have 364 sunny days a year, you know. Every other day, the last day, one day that they have, might be cloudy. But 364 sunny days a year. And they say, oh, another sunny day. As though, you know, that's something undesirable. Yet, why did those people move to Phoenix? Mm-hmm. Or to Arizona, or wherever the sun is? They moved there because of the sun. And then they complain about the sun, that it's too hot. They complain about the sun, that it's shining too much, you see? You chose to come to this planet Earth and live in this body that you have now. Not the body you have now. I must correct myself. You chose to come to this planet Earth and live in your ideal spirit, mind, and body. But as you were picking up on how you wanted to express yourself, you said, I want to give myself a challenge to see if I can remember who I am. And my challenge to remember who I am means I have to give myself a few little kinks, a few little kicks, a few little problems. Do you think that the frog knows it's a frog while it's still a tadpole? No. Do you think that a frog knows that it was a tadpole before? No. Do you think that a salamander who loses his tail knows he lost his tail and grows a new one? No. Because it's something automatic that goes on. You see, anything that is automatic in our life, anything that is done as it's a natural thing to do, we don't learn from that. We only learn from where we have the opportunity to put a cause in motion. And by learning, I mean we only reveal to ourselves what's going on, what's already there. So you put a cause in motion that you're whole and perfect. You put a cause in motion that you're fantastic. You put a cause in motion that you're independently wealthy. You're living in your ideal spirit, mind, and body. Those are great positive thoughts. But you admit to yourself that's not true. I'm lying. It's not true. I'm lying. Well, it is true. You are lying. You are lying in your physical body, but you're not lying in your divine body. Because that which is behind you, that which is your reality, that which is your purity, that which is your wholeness, it stands right there. Now, if I were to give you a pair of glasses that were called a spiritual vision, you would look right through this illusion that you have, this Halloween costume that you put on, and you would say, hey, I sure hung around with that for a long time. There's a lot of other costumes over here that'd be interesting too, like being a man or being a woman or being a child or being an animal or being rich or being poor, being healthy, being wealthy, you know, all these neat things, you know. You have that privilege. You have that privilege of putting on any cloak you like in living in the present body you have. But remember, if you have been poor and you put on that cloak and now you're rich, nobody will ever remember that you were poor, and you won't remember that you were poor. So there'll be no satisfaction in going from poor to rich. These are things that I'm telling you, and this is why your intellectual conscious mind objects to it so much. It will not let you look beyond the illusion, because you have created that illusion quite well. You've created it quite beautifully. Yesterday we were going over Ellen's article on my computer, and as I moved the article up and down, checking it out, all of a sudden, doom, 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 it split into parts and moved itself here and there, and we had a hard time wrestling it back into shape. But why did it do that? Was there confusion there? Was there much confusion? My goodness, there was much confusion. And did Ellen think that I did it just to make her unhappy? Yes, she did. And that is the biggest confusion of all. Anything may happen through me, but you are the ones who put the cause in motion. And if that's what you want, then go for it. Now, can you start putting the perfect cause in motion? I live in my
ideal spirit, mind, and body.
I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I am the
pure light of love.
You see, you're getting it. You got it. But now you want to demonstrate it. Now, when you say you're the pure white light of love, do you see yourself as you are now? Now, don't go shaking your head, no. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking over here to Ingeborg. Do you see yourself as you are now? Or do you see yourself a little better than you are now? Or do you see yourself as a white light? Or how do you see yourself?
I prefer to see myself like the light.
Okay, then when you say you're the pure white light of love, you see yourself just as light. And pure light, beautiful, shining everywhere, and everything else is invisible to you because you're pure light. Now, do you understand that? Because pure light, an absolute wattage, if you will say it, nothing can be seen around it. Mm-hmm. Because it's all sort of burned out by the light. Now, is it still there? No, it's not. The concept is there, but even the concept is not there if you're willing to not have it be there. Yeah. Now, you're in your pure white light of love, Sylvia, and I've got you in my Miata, and you're sitting in your blissful pure white light of love, and we're driving down the street, and you look out and you say, oh, isn't the campus beautiful? And then before I answer the question, we've arrived in El Cajon. And I say, what'd you say? He said, isn't the campus beautiful? And I said, oh, why are you saying that? Because I'm looking at the campus and it's beautiful. Oh, well, we're in El Cajon. I'm on campus. I am wherever my thought is. I am wherever my consciousness is. I am wherever I'm thinking I am. You see? Now, are you indeed on campus? If you got out of the car, you'd get out on the campus. And I would be the one who's in El Cajon, because that was my thought. But these sound a little bit strange, a little hairy, a little bit far out, and perhaps they really are. But actually, that's what reality is. So, sacrifice boredom. Get rid of it. And claim excitement, your wildest dreams. Claim your imagination as the thing that guides you, leads you, and directs you to your highest and your best. And if you want, I'm there to walk along with you and guide you and show you the way to a certain degree. I love you. I love you. I love you.